Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. Rossdalehomes.com.au.
What is making news around the place now? The first one we've got this morning. I quite like this story. Now, this is happening in Melbourne. Sneaky cops, Roo. Mm. Now, what's happening is, you know, over the years, you pull up at some traffic lights and you get these lads who are trying to earn some pocket money. They come up and they start with a squeegee thing and, washing your window.
Yeah, it's been happening. Yep.
Well, cops are dressing up and they're wearing high-vis gear.
What for?
And just wearing a baseball cap or whatever. And they're standing at traffic lights in Melbourne. And they look like they've got the squeegee in their hand. You think, oh, this bloke's about to come and wash my window.
Mm-hmm.
Undercover cops. And they're getting you for being on your phone.
Right.
And they're finding heaps and heaps of people.
Wow.
Which I think is quite ingenious from the cops, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should take some calls on that a little bit later on, whether whether they should be allowed to do that or not.
Do you think they should?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea.
It's just an undercover cop.
Yeah. Which has surely been going on for years and years and years.
There will be people that think that they shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But look, if you're doing the wrong thing and you get caught, well, you can't really whinge, can you?
No, I don't think. Now, what's happening at Bunnings?
Bunnings, well, they would be filthy. We all know about Bunnings and their sausage sizzles on weekends and the amount of money they raise for great organisations locally throughout Australia. Well, obviously, safety is a huge thing everywhere now and getting sued. Apparently, onions that slip off these sausages onto the ground, creating a slip hazard or a safety hazard. So now they are serving the onions underneath the sausage.
Oh, get out.
Which, to try and keep the...
Well, this is the law, is it now?
No, this is... Bunnings just worried that people are going to sue them.
You got the piece of bread.
There.
Please put the onion on first, then the sausage, rather than the other way around.
Well, they just do that. They don't even give you a choice.
Gee.
Next, there'll be no onion. You can see it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll burn your mouth or something.
Mm.
But just continually going crazy with these things, aren't we? Where's the actual... responsibility of the human not to slip or to bloody not drop the onion or clean up the onion or just live life and have a bit of danger every now and then.
Mm, yeah.
You can't risk-proof the whole world.
No. All right, the onion rule at Bunnings. Who would have thought?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, talk about people getting annoyed and everything. What about what's happened down at Wayville this morning? Obviously, someone's been done using by a speed camera, which none of us like speed cameras. And, if you speed, you get done, I suppose. But we get sick of speed cameras because they're in areas sometimes which, is not dangerous and never been prangs, but you can get caught doing 56 in a 50 and,
revenue raising.
You're done. Well, whoever it is, I think he's taken matters into his own hands. He's gone and bloody burnt the thing down.
Burnt the camera.
He's burnt the camera. I don't know how he's done it because, they're not exactly and it wouldn't be an easy thing to set a light.
No.
You'd have to dose it with the petrol and light her up.
Speaking from experience.
Well, I'm trying to think. You wouldn't be able to light a fire under it. You could light a fire under it, but I think it was up on a pole and everything.
Right. Oh, he's gone to a lot of trouble.
Yeah. He's
obviously copped a big fine.
It's on the national news. So,
he's done well.
We've done well to get a bit of profile on the
good old Adelaide
national TV. Yeah.
Well done.
What a goal!
Ruined its overnight sports.
Roo, you were just telling me yesterday about Wayne Miller, just out of the blue. You were telling me how impressive he is and how he's worked really, really hard during the off-season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you reckon he's in for a big year?
Well, I hope so because his body's sort of still been growing and filling out. And when that happens, as you know, you get growing pains and you can't do the training, so you can't fit. But he was back at training and had a chat yesterday.
Make sure you're being professional over the break and doing your program and getting the work in so you don't come back in that bad nick. Do the stuff that I was doing last year, all the sort of same stuff, washing vision, getting in with the coaches, just talking to other players and continue to improve.
Yep, seems like an impressive young lad.
Yep, he is an impressive lad. He was a top draft pick. He showed some signs last year of what he can do, and I think whether they play him at halfback or I'd like to actually see him in the centre square as a hard-running defensive and attacking midfielder, I think he can have a breakout season.
All right, let's talk cricket, shall we? The Redbacks take on the Warriors starting Friday, And some of our boys are pressing for a test claim here. Travis Head, Alex Carey, Callum Ferguson. If they can have a big game, they will push for a test spot. Roo, one thing, I'd be keen to talk to a cricket expert about the fact that in recent weeks, Rod Marsh, I think Ricky Ponting, and there have been others, other high-profile people really slamming the Sheffield Shield at the moment. Warnie was another one. And I'm wondering, what is it that's changed about the Sheffield Shield? Why are these big-name ex-players saying that the Shield's not being played the right way, or there's something wrong with it? What's changed?
The bits that I've read, what they've said is just that it's not spitting out A-grade players. Where the batsmen aren't coming through or things like that. So I don't know if... Yeah, so basically they're talking about the talent that's coming through. Okay. Is that the Shield's fault, or is that our development programs underneath it that is causing the issue? We spoke about it on Monday. It's about cricket in general. I got a phone call from a couple of people saying that it's the grassroots funding that has been cut badly since the. You remember that deal where they were going to strike the cricketers and they wanted more of the money?
Yep,
players got the money. That was going to go to grassroots cricket.
At the expense of grassroots. There you go. All right. Interesting story. Hey, let's move on. Jockey Hugh Bowman says he's been vindicated after successfully appealing a 3 Melbourne Cup charge. One of them was about excessive use of the whip. The other was that he came in overweight. But he's had his ban reduced anyway, so he'll be back riding on November the 28th.
Wow, that's big news for him.
South Australian tennis coach Darren Kale is the finalist in Tennis Australia's Coaching Excellence Award. Now...
I saw him at Next Generation.
Did you?
Yeah, had a chat to him.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'd ever spoken to him before.
You're kidding.
That's Darren Cowell. Yeah.
He's a great fella.
Yeah, he was a nice fella.
And what a coaching record he's had. He had a great playing record, but look at his coaching record.
He potted you.
Did he?
Yeah.
He cheated off me at school. He shouldn't pot. I dragged him through school.
He was desperate.
What?
He cheated off you?
Yeah. Bloody oath. I dragged him through school. Don't worry about that.
Mm.
Yeah. But Leighton Hewitt, number one. Andre Agassi, number one. Simona Halep got them all to number one in the world. So clearly knows what he's doing.
Yep. Still needed to cheat off you, though.
That's right. Anyway, that's our look at sport.
They're the good, bad, and the ugly. They are the interesting people of Ruined Dits.
Roo, in this job, we come across all sorts of people. You might remember last year, we saw a bloke sitting out from our window in a crane, and we thought, let's ring him up and tell him, get him to tell us about his job. Then there was a window cleaner, wasn't there, here on the 13th floor, and we rang him outside.
We've stepped it up a bit from here, though, haven't
we? That's right. We've gone all the way now to one of the most interesting professions there is out there. We're talking about being a private investigator, Roo.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've got an absolute PI, a private investigator on the phone. Phil Hunt's his name. Phil, good morning.
Morning, team. How are we?
Is that your real name, Phil?
Mate, that's the name I'm using at the moment.
Right. Very good. How did you get into this? How do you become a private investigator?
Oh, look, it was the next step for a lot of retired police officers years ago.
Right.
And I'm going back now about 25 years ago. They were used to taking interviews and dealing with the same people that they dealt with in the police force, only in a private way.
Okay. What sort of people do you usually investigate?
Mate, look, we investigate all sorts. The mums and dads are wondering what their kids are up to on the weekends when they're out on the town, or they're doing the restaurant scene and the nightclubs. And I think there's a lot of money these days in some of these families, and they take a great interest in who it is their young princesses, so to speak, are playing with or getting around with or seeing.
Right.
I think they like to see that the gene pool sort of stays the way they want it. So we deal with the marital, of course. I call them curiosity cases these days.
So what, chasing around to see if husbands and wives are cheating?
Well, this is exactly it. For example, I had a matter not long ago with a fellow, and he was positive that, his best mate was having an affair with his wife. So we tried to pin his best mate sort of down on his weekend activities, but I thought something's not right here. Finished up that we're off the ball because it was his best mate's wife was having an affair with his wife. So the next thing you know, he's moved in with his best mate and his wife's moved in with his best mate's wife.
Anything's
possible these days.
Do you put your life in danger? Does it get that bad?
Oh, look, in the early days, I've been shot at on occasions, and one of my partners on one occasion did take a bullet. But yes, you're going to run across those situations.
I don't reckon the pay's good enough to get shot at, Roo.
No, mate, no. You're exactly right. Even though we up the fees, it's not something that you want happening on a regular basis.
Phil, you would have to have disguises and wigs and clothes and all sorts of stuff to not look, you know, similar, wouldn't you, surely?
Mate, you've got to have a complete wardrobe in your boot of your vehicle at all times. You know, that'll cover finest Italian tux, you know, for the opening of one of the new nightclubs, or all the way down to thongs, board shorts, six different coloured caps, cowboy hats, and whatever else is required to look a bit different if you're caught out.
What sort of technology do you have to use? Do you use different things to try and get the job done?
Mate, these days, that's sort of what it's all about. It's all high tech now. The covert cameras are all high definition, whether they're on the body or we're using them in hand. For example, that father, as soon as I tell him who his daughter is talking to, he wants a photo and or video to him within 5 minutes.
People ever recognise you? Like, because you've done jobs, I know you got your disguises and different outfits and that. Do you ever worry when you go out for a quiet night with the missus or whatever, your mates, do you ever worry about, oh, geez, I've bloody done a job on that bloke before?
Look, I learnt that early in the piece when I went to the local car park after I'd been shopping and found a few nasty notes under the windscreen wipers. So, exactly right. But, yes, I have in the past.
You
know,
God,
there's a lot
you don't
of people
need that in life. No,
hey,
mate. What does it cost, Phil, to sort of, you know, let's say, I need you to do a job for me. My daughter's out and about. She's just turned 19. I'm a bit worried about who she's socialising with. How much does it cost to get the services of you?
Mate, look, it's always negotiable, but at the moment, the going rate's usually about $120 an hour plus expenses, depending on what we have to do or how we go about it. And that's a fairly standard rate, I think, at the moment. It fluctuates. But look, I still find the job interesting.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for over 30 years, and every day is a new challenge, so to speak. There's a new matter to look at and go, righto, how are we going to deal with this bloke? And so I look forward to the challenge. We've got a bit more technology these days than we had in the old days.
Phil, fascinating talking to you, mate. Thanks so much for your time.
Not a problem, fellas. Take care.
Very interesting stuff. It's happening a lot out there in society.
Triple M's Ruined It's proudly present to you.
But I'm not engaged in politics any longer. I'm retired.
Our former Prime Minister, Big Mal.
He is the former PM, right?
Yes. Not sure if he's happy about funny, that, no. But he knows that's the story. Let's get him on. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Rue, and hello to you, Dits, and everybody in Adelaide. You must forgive me. I'm on. I'm up at the Piper again, just before leaving again for New York, and the phone lines up here aren't terrific, so you'll have to forgive me if you can't hear me properly.
No, we've got you loud and clear. That's good. How do you like to be referred to? Are you just a constituent now, are you?
Well, I'm just a normal constituent like you, feeling mortgage pressure on my $50 million Italianate Palazzo
right.
and my $4 million New York apartment. I'm just a normal man in the street who pops down the road to get some milk. Actually, there's no milk bars in Point Piper, so I've got to get the Bentley out and whip around to Double Bay. A real pain in the tush.
It is. Hey, what are you doing for Movember, Big Mal? I haven't seen you up close lately. Growing a mow or anything?
Well, no, I will never grow facial hair, Roo, because it's never been good in history when a world leader, even if a former world leader, grows any facial hair. I mean, you know, look at Hitler, Stalin, yes. Castro, even Robert Mugabe had a little, you know, the little Charlie Chaplin there for a while. I mean, the only time it's ever worked is Margaret Thatcher's goatee. But that was very faint.
Hey, now listen, what's your son up to? He's been in the news a fair bit lately.
Well, Alex is going to be financing independence against Barnaby Joyce and Tony Abbott in their seats at the next federal election. And poor Alex, he's been at a loose end for quite a while. You know, being a rich bloke's son isn't easy.
No.
He's lived in my shadow, so he had to clear out and go to Singapore. He lives there with his family. And, I mean, what a day it is for him. After, you know, some mergers, acquisitions, some corporate raiding, he's at a loose end. He just pops down to Orchard Road, gets fitted for a poor suit and goes to a time.
That is a tough day.
Work up a sweat.
Why is he picking on those two?
Well, because I hate them and I want to destroy their lives. I mean, you saw me on Q&A throwing them all under the bus. Oh, I was having such fun. Saying, you know, I don't want to interfere with the Liberal Party, and I wish them all the best, and just kept saying over again, Peter Dutton, Tony Abbott, Greg Hunt, Matas Cormann. I mean, I know that you've had Matas on your show, and I think it's a show of real disloyalty. I can't understand a word he says. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull lost the confidence of the Liberal Party party room. I'm sorry, you Belgian tool. What are you saying? I'm really trolling.
Yeah. I mean, why do you reckon you had so many of your ex-teammates gang up on you if they're the bad people?
Well, because I don't know.
Good answer. No, that's a good answer.
Hey, how's Lucy going? Anyway, that's more important.
Lucy's great. I mean, she is terrific. She really is my rock. And she's been right behind me all the way. If there wasn't family, I'd be in real trouble. Of course, she was furious. As you know, we were papped in New York, and we were in our leisurewear. You can see Lucy's moose knuckle from about three blocks away, but she's keeping a low profile now. And she, behind every great man is a surprised woman, as they say.
Yes. That's right. Hey, big man, we've got to let you go. We appreciate your time once again. And if you're flitting
always
off to New York.
Always never a chore speaking to you, Dits, and to you, Roo, and to everybody in Adelaide. Good on you, and hello to Christopher Pan.
There you go. Malcolm Turnbull, just one of our normal citizens these days, Roo.
Exactly right.
Roo, politics. Politicians, one of the lines they love to wheel out is, oh, the previous government did this and the previous government did that. But in our case right now, the Libs have probably got a case, I think, because there are quite a few big issues in this state at the moment that aren't going that well that I think have been set up by the previous government. And we've got another one today.
Yeah, we have. Nearstar, which is up at Port Pirie, their share price is falling. And we've got 600-700 jobs up there for starters. That's important. But we've also got a big debt that the government potentially could be on the hook for, $290 million. So we thought we'd better get the treasurer on, Rob Lucas. Rob, good morning.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. How is the company going for starters? Are they going okay?
Well, look, I guess the only independent test at the moment are the global financial markets. And if you follow them, well, then obviously there's some cause for some concern. Can I say before, I guess, directly answering that, and I will, is that I'm meeting the global CEO who's flying in from Zurich next Monday. And a clear message from the new South Australian government will be, look, we'll try and do all we can to try and protect the jobs at Port Pirie. We want this redevelopment to succeed. But the brutal reality at the moment is the global company is being belted in the markets. Their share price has plummeted. You've got financial analysts who are urging people to sell shares and making very, very extravagant claims that the shares are worthless. What I've said yesterday in Parliament is, look, this is a particular analyst's view. It's obviously taken root in the financial markets at the moment that we should be taking a sober assessment of where we are. That's why the meeting next Monday will be important, because the Zurich-based CEO is obviously going to be in the best position to tell us what the company is going to do or is trying to do to turn the situation around.
Tom Koutsantonis has accused you of talking it down and perhaps belting the public image of this company, but I guess from what you're saying, I mean, you really are just telling the truth as it is, aren't you?
Well, that's fine. Look, I can understand Tom's a bit sensitive about the deal because he wrote the deal. But look, the issue from our viewpoint is all I can do is answer the questions honestly. And the questions I was asked yesterday was, are you concerned about what you're reading in the financial markets? And look, there's only one honest answer in relation to all of that. That's yes. And but at the same time, couching it within the context, we'll try and do all we can to protect the jobs. But ultimately, we've got two things here. We've got to try and protect the jobs. But your listeners, the taxpayers, are the ones who've potentially got $291.25 million swinging in the breeze on this particular deal. And so the interests of taxpayers have also got to be protected in relation to this particular deal. So we've got two goals in mind. One is to try and ensure the development succeeds, that the jobs are protected, but at the same time, your listeners are the ones who potentially might have to cough up $291.25 million.
The $350 million upgrade, is that finished?
No, it's still in process. And one of the problems I think the financial market is commenting on is that basically the success of the company globally is hinged very much on the potential success of Port Pirie and this particular local development. So that's why it's so important to the global company. And it's been delayed, and the cost of the actual redevelopment have blown out significantly. So I think that's part of the reason why the financial analysts in Europe have been commenting so caustically about the global prospects of the company at the moment.
Well, you're going to have a very, very, very important meeting next Monday, and I think a big meeting for the state. It'll be interesting to see what the answers are there for everyone.
Well, that's absolutely right. But look, as I said, I can assure you, your listeners, but in particular the people at Port Pirie, we've got their best interests in mind. We want to see this development succeed. We want to see what we can do to actually try and help that occur. But at the same time, we've got to be mindful of the fact that your taxpayers and your listeners are the ones who might have to pay the eventual bill.
Rob, before you leave us, look, I want to ask you a general question about the state, if I can, and I'm not picking any sides here. I'm not having a crack at the previous government, nor am I praising your government. I just want to know exactly where we sit as taxpayers. I mentioned in the intro that, you know, we do like to talk about previous governments and the situation they've left us with, but with the hospital at the moment, the health situation, this near-star situation, and there are others that don't spring to mind readily, are we going okay? Are we, you know, financially, I mean, how is the budget looking in this state?
Well, look, two points I'd make. One is we did say quite openly we believe we've inherited a financial mess, and you've highlighted just some of them. But our job is to try and fix that financial mess, and that's what our budget brought down. That's why there are some pretty tough decisions that were made. We basically said you can't keep doing all the things that you were doing and fix the financial mess you've inherited. You actually have to make some hard decisions and say particular programs which people like, we just can't continue to fund. We've got to actually spend no more money than we actually earn every year.
Yep.
We've tried to reduce taxes. We're going to abolish payroll tax for all small businesses from 1st of January next year because we want to see more people being employed and want to help small businesses. If you want to do those things, you've actually got to cut your cloth to suit what you've got available. And that's what we're actually doing at the moment. So we think the prospects for the state are good. We know we've inherited a mess. But we just need to stop, fix the financial mess up, and then set the foundation for growth and optimism in the future. And I think a lot of the business surveys and particularly small business surveys released in recent days by the banks and financial institutions are saying that there is a newfound optimism in the state, and we need to build on that for the future.
Fantastic. Good on you, Rob. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, fellas. Bye-bye.
Our treasurer, Rob Lucas. And yet, Monday, as you said, a very important meeting coming up.
We do not need another whaler, I can tell you that. And that stinks of it at the moment. Let's hope that's a positive one. Dr. Carr's going to join us next. It's because we're not sure when we lose weight, if we ever do, where it goes.
I don't know if you heard that in the background. Was that a knee slap you just did then? Were you going to be excited about Dr. Carr? Bruce went,
I was getting,
here we go,
I was getting a bit angry about Paul Perry.
Right, okay.
Science.
Grab the lab coats and whip out the Bunsen burners.
For science.
It's time to talk science with Dr. Carl.
Oh, indeed it is, Roo. Now, every other person we run into, including us as well, trying to lose weight or trying to go to the gym, share the extra kilos and all of that. And we had a discussion with Alice the Wag off air yesterday, and we think there must be a wedding imminent or something because she's trying to lose weight at the moment.
Dropping
and
a heap of weight.
Always she is, looking magnificent as always. So
making
we thought,
us feel guilty.
But where does it go? You know, when you, and especially when you read about people that lose a real, you know, a big amount of weight, how do you lose it?
Yeah, but I just thought when you were, you know, you'd sweat it out.
Does it
or
come
something?
Out in your sweat?
I don't know.
Let's go to the man who can answer all these questions, Dr. Carl. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Roo and Dr. Diz. And look, thank you. And where does the fat go? Well, firstly, it doesn't get turned into pure energy. The only way you can do that is through nuclear explosions. And so if you were to lose 10 kilograms of fat, that would be equivalent to 10,000 Nagasaki atomic bombs. And so if you did that over 100 days, losing 10 kilograms of fat over 100 days, you'd be getting rid of atomic bombs worth of energy every 15 minutes, and your friends couldn't help but notice.
Wow.
No, right.
No. So think about it as being made of atoms. Everything is made of atoms. And the atoms that make up that 10 kilograms of fat, they go out the same way they came in, through your mouth. Yes, your mouth is your major excretory organ. Blow your mind. Well, suppose you want to lose 10 kilograms of fat. If you do the equations, you've got to add 29 kilograms of oxygen, and then that gets turned into 28 kilograms of carbon dioxide and 11 kilograms of water. So the fat gets turned into carbon dioxide and water. And how do you get rid of this 39 kilograms of carbon dioxide and water? The same way it came in, through your mouth.
So you breathe it out.
you breathe out. Have you ever done the thing of going to bed and being obsessive and weighing yourself last thing at night and then weighing yourself first thing in the morning before you have a wee and blow me down, a couple hundred grams have gone, 300, 400 grams have gone.
Really?
What, before you have a wee or after you have a wee?
Oh, before you have a wee.
Really?
On the new digital scales, weigh yourself and you'll find that you've lost about 300 or 400, maybe 500 grams of weight. And that's water and carbon dioxide that has left your body during the night.
Through your mouth.
Breathe out through your mouth. Through your mouth. Your mouth, here comes a major big line, your mouth is your major excretory organ.
Now, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, Dr. Carl, but we're told that the world's supermodels and drink gallons and gallons of water. That's their big secret. It's all about drinking water. And I think they do it because of their skin, but they also believe it helps them lose weight. Is there any truth in that or not?
No. Basically, they live off cigarettes and they look at photographs of food and they pick up enough energy from that.
Right.
And supermodels, they fall into the category that we call TOFI, T-O-F-I, thin on the outside, but they're fat on the inside.
Really?
They actually have visceral fat wrapped around their internal organs, and they're actually quite unhealthy.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they drink water to hydrate, don't they, for their skin and stuff.
All right, very interesting answer, Dr. Carl. I would never, ever have thought that's how we lose weight. I can't believe it. Unbelievable. Now, Dr. Carl.
So put your mouth wide open when you go to the gym.
That's right.
Don't now, keep it closed.
Your 44th book, I think it's on sale now. What's it called?
It's called Vital Science.
Yep.
And it's got stories in there like how Pluto has sand dunes and how the Daily Mail reckons that cockroach milk is the new superfood.
All right, cockroach milk. I'll get onto it then. Yeah. All right. Now, Roo, food is becoming more and more challenging all the time. Now, you are obviously owning hotels.
Yep.
Days have changed where we can just go in and say, I'll have a steak and chips, thanks. I mean, the menus now are so complicated.
Well, they are. All the cooking shows on TVs, the changing needs or wants of younger generations in what they eat and where it comes from, and not only that, and not even how it tastes, but how it's plated, and is it plated well enough to be on Instagram so that they can send it out to their friends, and then you've got all the other, dietary requirements as well.
Well,
with people
this is the
with
one. Dietary requirements. Now, my son had a birthday recently, and so you've got to take a cake into work. He got told it has to be gluten-free. And I said, what? So you bring a cake into work for everyone to share. You've got to, it's your birthday, but you have to bring the cake in, and it's got to be gluten-free.
So what, from a legal point of view? Or just because
there's
gluten intolerant people there? Or?
Yeah, but who would have thought that you had to worry about these sorts of things? And if to anyone listening that's gluten intolerant, sorry, I sympathise, but it's just new to me. I've never been told before that. So do we now have to worry about peanut allergies as well if I buy a cake?
Absolutely. There's so many rules with schools and stuff, dits, or everywhere.
So if I buy a cake here one day and bring it in, I've got to go through, what, gluten-free? Is someone a celiac? Is someone peanut?
Well, if you were going to de-risk your cake buying.
De-risk.
You would go with all of those things and just say, here it is, and I've taken everyone into consideration,
the other
so they
thing,
think you're a good person.
The other thing that happens now is you can have a dinner party and someone arrives at your house and says, I'm gluten-free. Well, what am I meant to do with that?
Someone's gluten-free and you've invited, let's say you've got three couples or four couples coming around.
But is it my responsibility is it their responsibility?
Well, I was about to say, they should let you know. Like if you invite Fred and his wife around, and Fred should say, well, just so you know, Frieda's gluten intolerant, so can you do something different with the meal?
Mm-hmm.
So you're prepared for it.
All right. And what if Frieda rolls up and I'm cooking a barbecue, let's say, which every household in Australia does. You come around with the kids on a Sunday, say, right, we'll have a barbie, Roo.
So you got loin chops and a few
and
nice
Frieda
salads.
And Frieda says, I'm vegetarian. So what do I do then? I just look at her and go, well, and?
Well,
is that my responsibility or hers?
That's not your responsibility. The responsibility there is for her to bring around something already made that she can either heat up or maybe she can go, do you not mind if I jump in the kitchen and just heat it up in the frying pan or cook a couple of things in the frying pan?
So these are the rules I want to establish with you, Roo. Is it Frieda's?
It's not your responsibility.
It's not mine, it's hers, is it?
I don't think it's your responsibility.
And then there's the other one, which happened to me. This is another rule that I just wonder what
the rule. You've had a fair bit happening lately.
I've had a lot happen. So a lad came around, this is actually a couple of years ago, a lad came around, new girlfriend. She walks in with something in a plastic bag. And I thought, well, good on you, because she said, I'm vegetarian. thought, well, good on you, you've come prepared. You're not expecting me to whip up, you know, lentil bean burgers or something.
Yeah.
So she hands me these patties and said, oh, you know, when you can you cook those? So I go to put them on the barbecue. She goes, hey, hang on. I said, what? She said, don't cook them on that barbecue.
Yeah, because you can't cook it on the same plate with meat, well, mates, can you?
I said, well, it's the only barbecue here. What am I supposed to do? Well, could you clean it, please? Because I've had meat on that barbecue, you see. So I nearly wrapped them around her head. But anyway, no, I didn't. But anyway, I'm just saying, Ru, so if you have a dinner party now, are they vegetarian? Are they vegan? Are they gluten intolerant?
Mm.
Are they peanut intolerant? Mm. All of these things. As the host of the dinner party, what's my responsibility?
You shouldn't have to ask.
They should come prepared.
I'm saying you shouldn't have to ask. I'm saying those people who are coming should have the manners to say something or bring their own. That's what I would say.
So BYO. BYO food.
Yeah, or you can offer, they should at least tell you and you can say, yeah, I can knock something up, or Kate can knock something up.
And if a vegan comes to your barbecue, do I have to clean the barbie after we've all eaten, or?
Well, probably. Let's ask the listeners out there.
Do me a favour.
1-3-3-5-3. What are the new rules out there, especially the younger generation who are eating a little bit differently to us old dinosaurs? Give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3. Should you tell them if you've got an eating dietary requirement, or do you just rock up and say, ha ha, I'm a vegan?
And I say, there's the door. 1-3-3-5-3, let us know. We're talking about the fact that people now might come to your house and say, oh, by the way, the meal you're about serve up, I'm a vegan, or I'm, you know,
I'm
lactose intolerant.
I can't have this or I can't have that.
Yeah.
What are the rules? Should you tell them?
Whose responsibility is it?
Yeah, let's go to Meadows. What do you think, Steve?
Look, my wife's gluten-free, and if we go out somewhere, I mean, if they're not going to cater, which is fine, we take our own stuff. I'm not gluten-free, I eat anything. And Ditch was saying about a barbecue, if we've got people around and I'm doing shazlicks from a butcher that's not gluten-free and my wife needs her stuff, I just cook it on baking paper.
Yeah, but and that all makes sense, Steve, and that is fine. But so you would say to wherever you're going, you'd pre-warn them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if we went to, e.g., say, went to your place, I'd say, look, you know, that's fine, Saturday, Jackie's gluten-free, do you want us to bring something, or, you know, what do you want us to bring? I mean, that, to me, is just what I would do.
Sounds like you got common sense, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes.
Good on you, Steve. All right, more calls on these rules in just a moment. Ruined, it's on Triple M. 7:53, Roo, we're talking about these food rules, you know, people coming around, are they meant to ring first and say, oh, look, we're vegetarian?
Because you copped a little while ago, didn't you?
Yeah, but I've got some rules. I ring people, Roo, I say, I'm coming around, I'm going to eat everything, and I'm going to drink your grog. So then they, you know, they can make the decision then.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't been to a barbie at other people's houses for a while, have you? Let's go to Highbury. G'day, Keith.
Good morning, gents. I hope you're well.
Very well.
Good, Keith.
I only have an intolerance to one type of peanut.
Right.
Yeah.
Vegan.
There's a lot of them there, Keith.
There's a lot of them.
Stop being politically correct.
Hey, right. We've got a vegan menu at the pubs now. You have to, because there's a big...
I want to tell you something. I read it in the paper last week. Apparently, they're not even supposed to eat avocados. Because worker bees pollinate them. Can you believe that crap?
Wow.
I mean, I can understand not eating meat. I have a respect for vegetarians. But, God, what's the matter with eating cheese or honey or avocados? Are you kidding me?
No, I can tend to agree, but everyone's different, Keith, aren't they?
They can turn up to my barbecue, mate. They're going to have a choice of pork, steak, lamb, or chicken.
Righto.
Keith.
What time do we come round?
Anytime,
Dick. Righto. All right. Good on you, Keith.
Leave your port scarf at home, mate. I'm a crow.
Yay, Keithy.
Well, you sounded like a lunatic. Has Keith got a volume button or not?
Flat out.
If it's on high at the moment, isn't it?
Good stuff. We've had an absolute toll. We've got another caller here. Scotty from Woodcroft. G'day, Scotty.
How you doing?
What do you think? What are the rules?
Well, it's definitely not the host.
No, I don't think it's the host either.
Well, it's like going to a Mexican restaurant and asking, I don't like Mexican, what else do you cook?
That's right.
It's silly. The main concern here is, what vegan or vegetarian hasn't told you that they're vegan or vegetarian in the first 5 seconds of meeting it?
Yeah, you're right. They're usually a bit loud and proud about it, aren't they? Yeah, you're right.
Is that what
you know the answer? You just don't invite them. Very simple.
Yeah. Usually the hairy armpits give it away, I reckon.
Oh,
and the,
come on.
Does. And the, you know, and the weird clothes they're wearing. And
what? We've had a couple of vegans and they're bloody really nice girls.
Jeez, you fell for their BS then, didn't you?
Oh, no.
God.
It wasn't me that was talking to them all. I like the lemonade they had there. You didn't like the smell of the food.
No, I couldn't eat it.
See,
at
I can't
all.
Smell anything, so I thought it was fine. Mm. You couldn't even handle the smell of the place.
No. I know.
Good stuff.
Anyway, mate. Changing times, Roo. We've got to get with
exactly
the times.
Exactly right. Of course we do.
All right.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Oh, how are you, lads? We've got Flack, we've got Howie and Nails. How are you, boys?
Good morning,
boys.
Mate.
Yeah, good. What do you got, Roo?
The other day on the Angels, we spoke about the future wives taking their husband's name and if that was just compulsory in your eyes. I would like to ask you that question. And then secondly, if they didn't want to take your name, would you take theirs?
Flack.
Look, I would love my last name, Flack, to continue on. The only reason why I wouldn't is if I got with a girl whose last name was cool, like Power or something. But other than that,
you cop a bit of flack about.
Yeah, I do. That's the first thing people say. Hey, do you cop some flack? Mm. Yeah, I haven't heard that at all. Yeah. I'd like my first name. I'd like my last name to continue on.
All right. Howie.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I think, I don't know if I'm a traditionalist or not, but yeah, I'd like my name to continue on.
Now, you're going to have a baby soon.
Yeah.
And you're not married yet, so is it going to be a hyphenated name?
I don't think he's a traditionalist.
No. It's pretty black and white, isn't it?
Is there going to be a hyphen?
No way. No, we've spoken about that, and too much of a mouthful.
Right. Nails.
Too hard for signatures.
No, I feel pretty strongly about this one. I think, you've got to take on your partner's last name. I think even, you know, if you have a different last name to your kid, that's a bit different.
That is different.
And I know, Tor's a teacher, and having kids that have got parents with two different last names, you know, makes things a bit tricky as well. So I think you're just making something that's quite simple difficult.
What about Alice was telling us people are merging names or something?
What do you mean merging?
Well, they're saying this new modern thing is take half of your name and half of her name. Or
so what if Flack was married Alice, whose last name's James?
Yeah.
What would that be, Flack?
Flames.
That's cool.
Like Alice.
That is very cool. Yeah. You could marry Alice.
Oh,
no. You could cut Joel's lunch.
Actually, I might just stop right now before I say anything stupid.
But apparently some people do merge names, though. Have you heard of this, Nails?
No, I've never heard of that. That's news to me.
Well, I heard a story once that, you know, the famous supermodel Claudia Schiffer was going to marry Brains from the Thunderbirds, and she would have been Claudia Schiffer Brains. Anyway, let's move on. Now, Flack, tell us what happened to you recently. You were mistaken for being gay. There's nothing wrong with this, by the way, but you were mistaken for being gay. How did this come about?
I had a housemate move in for the first time, and I over
what
a couple
was his
of,
name?
It was a she, and I said, so you had a couple options. Why did you move in with me? And she said, oh, you know, own bathroom, your house is really clean. And then she paused, and I'm like, what else? And she's like, oh, and I just figured you wouldn't hit on me. I'm like, why wouldn't I hit on you? And she said, oh, because I thought you were gay. And I said, why? And she said, well, your house is immaculate. Mm. I really like how you decorate. You've got some wonderful homewares. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm just sitting there. Oh, okay. I'll be honest, not the first time.
This raises another question, though, as well. People that shift cities or young people come from the country, you know, want to go to uni in the city and things like that or get a job in the city, often have to shift in with people they've never, ever, ever met before, which is what happened. So is that a difficult thing?
It is initially because I like to walk around in my jocks.
Right.
So I've had to stop that for a while.
Right. She thinks you're gay, though. You're laughing.
Oh, great call. Yeah. So it's we have our own space, but, it's a bit weird.
Mm. Howie, has this happened to you?
No, I can't say it's ever happened to me.
Since he's had the mow, it's happened a couple of times.
I do have to say, and I look around the room at a few dodgy blokes, so I'm sure I'm not alone here, but I've had some very close calls in the lovely streets of Thailand and Hong Kong With some
really
with some
oh
yeah with some
fellas
yeah.
hitting on you.
Oh well, they were fellas and now they're not fellas.
Right, okay. They're a bit confused though.
Yeah, so yeah,
oh, lady boys.
Yeah, some very very close shaves.
Right, okay. Nails.
No, I've never had that. Yeah, I think as soon as I open my mouth, it's pretty obvious that I'm an Aussie sort of, yeah, straight fella. So, yeah, no, that's never been an issue for me.
Well, not yet anyway. I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Flack, good right. luck yeah. on the home front.
Yeah, thanks for that, boys.
Thanks, Metros.
Cheers, boys. Boys.
Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. RossdaleHomes.com.au.